we will go back to our second time certain, which is 1323, please.
Declare intent to initiate local improvement district formation proceedings to construct street, sidewalk, stormwater, and sanitary sewer improvements in the Southeast 80th and Mill Street Local Improvement District.
Colleagues, Commissioner Saltzman is out today. He asked if I would read an introductory statement on behalf of this item, so I'll do so. This local improvement district is to comprehensively integrate street, stormwater, pedestrian, and sanitary sewer infrastructure in a single project, stretching property owners, LID dollars, and Bureau of Environmental Service ratepayers, LID dollars further. A great example of the city working together is what this is. This also includes our partners at Portland Public Schools and Bridger Elementary, a Title I school with a high proportion of low-income students who will benefit from this project and help our equity and our Vision Zero goals. Today we have PBOT's Capital Project Manager, Andrew Abbey, with us to give more details on the project. Good morning.
Good morning, Mayor Wheeler. Andrew Abbey, Local Improvement District Administrator. We are joined today by David Hammond, my colleague from the Bureau of Environmental Services, and Ryan Webb, an engineer from the Portland Bureau of Transportation. Ryan received his PE license earlier this year and is already making a positive impact designing LID projects. Joining Ryan on his left is Olivia Grenier, who made the trip today to join us from Corvallis. She will be graduating from Oregon State University next year with a degree in engineering and interned with PBOT last summer. She deftly handled every curveball that I threw her while she was scoping and estimating this project and responding to property owner concerns. She, along with David and Ryan, played key roles in helping put this project together, and I just wanted to show you some of the staff behind the scenes that help make these LID projects happen. So with that, Carla, if we can switch to the presentation, and I need your help to make this
F5.
F5? Okay, thank you. So the first slide here today is a picture of what Mill Street looks like. This project went on hiatus from an unsuccessful petition effort in 2006. Earlier this year, I received this plea from a property owner in what is now the proposed LID. We have been struggling for the last few years with who to talk to and address the crazy water pond we now refer to as Lake Mill Street. I've written countless emails to different city departments pleading for some help, but things don't go anywhere, so any advice you have would be great. You can see from this picture in the background of a traffic signal. That signal was recently installed by ODOT, and thanks to the partnership with ODOT, the property owners will not need to replace the curb ramps at Southeast 82nd and Mill to current ADA standards. As you can see, once you get behind the new vehicle detection loops that were installed by ODOT, you have a truly dreadful street. Here's what the father of a future Bridger Elementary student, here is a picture of a father of a future Bridger Elementary student going for a walk. This little boy's mother said, "We are trapped inside our property due to the standing water and no sidewalks, which forces us to climb through a neighbor's bushes with our son to get out. And when the time comes for our son to go to school, we will unfortunately have to drive one block because we cannot leave our home by foot." Moving on to the next slide here, Southeast Mill Street is among the 306.8 centerline miles of streets in the city that are paved without curbs. This is an example of one of those blocks. Montevilla's proportion of streets fitting this category at 14.1% is about 10% lower than the citywide average of 15.4%. 306.8 miles may seem like a daunting number, but keep in mind that 5 years ago, we had 2.1 more miles of these types of streets, so we have been able to slowly chip away at the backlog. I was asked by an elderly property owner who could not be here today and who is a caregiver to her husband to provide a personal story behind these statistics. She said, "My family and I are caring for my husband, who is in the later stages of dementia. His caregivers often have to push his wheelchair down the middle of this road amidst the heavy afternoon traffic to avoid the massive puddles and potholes. It can be a rather unnerving experience for all concerned." So just quickly moving on to the next slide, I really want to thank Commissioner Fish for this. The catalyst for this project is the pending sanitary sewer replacement in Mill Street. But if you thought that a software program would have told PBOT and BES to work together on this project, you would be wrong. Last year, I got together with the city engineer to grab some coffee and look at some current projects around the city. And our way back to the office, we found these utility locates on the street and put in a phone call to BES and found out that they were planning to replace the sewer. So to BES's credit, they were willing to delay their sanitary sewer project for 1 year while we worked on a possible LID. The goal here was for BES to spend about the same amount of money that it otherwise would have been throwaway on trench repair. A 12-foot repair around the existing sanitary line shown in red on this diagram would temporarily result in a nice 12-foot swath of street, but over time, it would crumble just like the pavement around it. And then the day after BES would do the trench repair, my phone would ring and people would ask me, well, why couldn't we just fix the whole street while the sanitary sewer was being replaced? Instead, we can apply that money toward the brand new pavement section, as shown on the right, while reducing the LID obligation for property owners. David, did you just want to share a couple of quick thoughts on that?
So our project, I'll be here in the afternoon reading authorization to go out to bid for these projects. This is a small piece of one of those that we'll be able to package with the PBOT work and put out at a later time. The rest of the project will still go on schedule. And it'll be a good way to improve the neighborhood community in coordination with PBOT and get a much better final result than we would have got with a normal street repave and patch.
Thank you, David. And what I just passed out while David was speaking to you is I had a meeting with the city of Bend earlier this year. We were talking about infrastructure finance issues, and they had brought to my attention a missed opportunity in Bend where they did a major utility project on the east side of Bend, and they didn't try to put a sidewalk in at the same time, and they got quite a bit of blowback from the community. So when I got back to Portland and this project was taking shape, we thought we'd err on the side of trying to build the sidewalks in this area.
Well, Andrew, could you just interrupt for a second?
Yes.
I thought that when Leah Treat first became Director of Transportation that she had had similar, she actually had had software in Chicago or somewhere else that she had worked where everybody entered, each bureau entered in their projects and it said, you know, red alert. Do we not have that yet?
We do have it. This one, just for whatever reason, kind of fell through the cracks. So. We have a little more work to do on that, to be candid with you. So.
Well, actually, I think the other way of thinking, you know, at least we've got people who are doing thinking rather than machines that can sometimes not give us the answer we need.
Thank you, Commissioner. And I'll try to move quickly through the rest of it. I know you've had a long morning. So I just wanted to show you this next slide that we are going to, as much as possible, minimize impacts to trees. I showed a little concept diagram here on the right side of the slide of a way that we're thinking about possibly preserving those three trees that you see in the picture on your left. And I just wanted to share with you just a few excerpts of that testimony that's shown there on the slide. So we have a woman by the name of Kara Christensen who lives in the neighborhood. She feels unsafe walking a short distance to Bridger School and also to her closest park, which is Harrison Park. This is because of the lack of sidewalks, having to share the road with vehicles and bicycles, vandalism, graffiti, gang tagging, drug paraphernalia, dumping stolen vehicles, abandoned vehicles, and stripped vehicles. And you can see most of that on this next slide.
Just going back to the previous slide, the jutting out of the curb to save those trees would tend to diminish the amount of kind of gathering and cut through activity on that street.
Yes.
So that's really brilliant, too. I hope you can make that work.
Yes, thank you, Commissioner. We are planning to do that. So this is 80th Avenue between Grant and Stevens, and this is going to be part of an amendment that I'll pass out. So this is an example of the 55.8 centerline miles of streets in the city that are unpaved. Montevilla's proportion of streets that are unpaved is 3.5%, which is about one quarter higher than the citywide average of 2.8%. Again, this may seem like a daunting number, but keep in mind that 5 years ago, we had 59.5 miles of unpaved streets. So through the block-by-block, project-by-project approach, LIDs have been among the tools to reduce this backlog by 3.7 miles in 5 years, which is a 6.1% reduction citywide. Let me again provide a personal perspective behind these statistics. A nearby middle school principal said, to watch my students come to school with wet shoes, knowing that those are their only shoes because they have a journey to school that involves walking through water, is heartbreaking to me. I think it is an assault on their basic dignity to have to live like that because there aren't amenities that most communities take for granted. So this is a map of the LID as we started the discussions in September. We're proposing through this amendment to expand the LID so the project limits, instead of stopping at Stevens and not addressing those problems you saw in the last slide with pictures, would instead come down to 100 feet north of Grant Street. I also wanted to mention that as you look at the larger area, we are also going to partner with some other funding to upgrade some curb ramps so that we can address the accessibility issues to Bridger School, not just from the east with this LID, but from other directions as well. So here's a quick recap of the financing of the project. We did look at a number of funding sources to make this project go, including general fund capital set aside and fixing our streets funding. We ultimately settled on the BES funding with that partnership. So again, I'm deeply appreciative to Commissioner Fish and his bureau for coming through so that we can build a much better project for approximately the same amount of money. And then I just wanted to wrap up before I get to the amendment. I just wanted to show you this video, which I really think kind of shows what we're looking at. And doesn't seem to be, there we go.
Well, I got a phone call early this morning. Apparently, we had a fire in one classroom.
Wrong one. We'll switch over to the correct one now. Thank you.
Mud puddles. The other half of our walk is a block with no sidewalks and cars parked along the side of the road, which force us to walk down the middle of the road.
My mom drops me off at Gwen's house, and me and Gwen walk together.
Sorry.
To school.
My favorite way of getting to school is walking with Ava.
Cerca de nuestra escuela aquí en Bridger, no hace mucho tiempo venía yo trayendo a mis niños a la escuela. Estoy parqueada en la calle Mill, y es una calle que está totalmente en malas condiciones, con pozos, hoyos con agua, lodo, y es muy difícil cuando vienen los papás con sus niños. Yo estaba, me parqué en la orilla de esa calle para traer a mis niños. Vine por ellos, íbamos ya a la casa y estaba poniéndolos en el asiento, estaba poniendo su cinturón de seguridad, cuando pasa un carro y yo estaba de espaldas, totalmente me baña de esa agua con lodo y sucia desde mi cabeza, ¿verdad? Quedé toda mojada y pues no podía creer que estuviera pasando eso, pero pasó. Entonces esto me mojó esta vez, gracias a Dios no fue algo trágico, pero puede, así como pasó eso, puede pasar un accidente. Porque...
Well, there's a bunch of water puddles, mud puddles, and there's no sidewalks, so it's like really hard to get to school.
Okay. Tell me, how do you get to school?
With my scooter.
Yeah, tell me about your scooter.
Well, I like to scoot down with it, but I haven't really did it for a long time because it was free vacation.
We always walk to school because we live really close, but we're on an unimproved road, so it doesn't feel too safe. Sometimes the cars slide around. We feel a little nervous about that. But.
Well, it's pretty dirty, and like it's pretty dirty, and like at night after practice, after we have our basketball practice, like it's really pitch dark, and we can't see nothing. And with the like roads being puddles and stuff, like you might get stuck in there, and cars might not see you. So they might like. It's a possibility that a car can hit you.
So we live on 80th and Division, in between Division and Clinton. So we don't have a safe, easy spot to cross to walk to school. We have to drive. We go down to 76th and take 76th. If we had a place that was like easily crossable, we would totally walk more.
You know, I ride the bus. So when the bus picks us up and tries to get out, there's a lot of car that's going very fast. So it takes a long time for the bus to even get in the lane and go. And then when we get around the school block, the cars are going really fast and it's really compact. So it takes a long time for the bus to get in. So most of the time we're kind of a little bit late. But the only good thing is the bus gets to our stop earlier, so we're actually not late.
Okay. And that concludes our video. I appreciate your time this morning. Happy to answer any questions you might have.
Could you just reiterate, homeowners will or will not receive a bill for this?
Homeowners are contributing towards the LID. We also have Portland Public Schools contributing.
I'm sorry, the average contribution will be?
For the average single-family home, they're generally running in the $10,000 to $15,000 range. Okay, $2.40 per accessible square foot.
Thank you. I'm sorry I had to walk out for the first
part. And there's some financing options available for that, right?
And we will also be offering a low-income deferral, and we're able to do that because of PBOT-SDC funding, and then we can repay the PBOT-SDC fund. I did pass out an amendment to take care of all of those streets, including all of those streets you saw in the video. So if you want to take a roll call on the amendment, then we would have a complete project.
How does the deferral program work, low-income deferral program?
I'm sorry?
How does the low-income deferral program work?
The way the low-income deferral program would work, sorry, Mayor, really I didn't hear your question. So the way this would work is the final assessment, we haven't developed the agreement yet, but we used to do this many years ago with PDC, now Prosper Portland funding, where we substitute an LID lien for a deferral lien, and then upon the sale of the property, then that LID, or what used to be an LID obligation, is now a deferral lien that is due and payable on the sale of the property. There is interest associated with that, but it's a way that people can realize the benefits of the infrastructure and not have a financial hardship before they sell their property.
And let me ask a follow-up on that. So I support that because I obviously we don't want to push an LID that forces people out of our housing. That's not the goal here. But then how do you capitalize the project up front?
We basically do that through all the other funding sources in PBOT-SDC. So in effect, what we do, Mayor, is we temporarily overfund the project with PBOT-SDC, and then as those deferral liens are paid back, we repay the SDC fund, and then we bring the SDC funding contribution in line with our typical 30% SDC funding ratio. So in effect, the LID and the BES funding is providing that 70% local match that we need to make this project go.
So my guess is that the improvements to the streets and the sidewalks, the drainage, enhances property value more than the individual property's contribution to the project initially. Do we have any data to support whether that's true or not? I mean, it's an impression I have, but I don't know if it's true.
So I haven't looked at it in I have a lot of anecdotal examples from residential. I did do something called a cross-collateralization ordinance many years ago where we did a LID on Northeast 148th Avenue that resulted in very significant increases to property value. I would just give you another analogy, which is on my own personal property, I had to hire somebody to deal with drainage coming from my uphill neighbor. I spent more hiring somebody with no survey, no set of plans, none of the formal stuff we go through on this, just simply to redo my backyard to handle the drainage problem. And I suspect from those pictures that you saw that there's property owners who are spending their own money trying to put in homegrown drainage solutions, and instead, you know, we can build a very comprehensive improvement to deal
with. So, and I'll stop here, but you know, here's our chance with a new LID, or maybe even some of the ones we've recently supported. Let's do a data collection on this. And I understand it's a longitudinal study; it'll have to take years. But I feel like this is data we need. You know, I need to know the answer to that question. Somebody will be sitting in the seat in 10 years, maybe me, maybe somebody else, and they'll be asking the same question. But if we could definitively answer that question, and if it turned out to be true, that would certainly reduce whatever resistance might be out there. On the other hand, if we're wrong, then maybe we need to rethink the financing structure.
So, Mayor, can I just
Commissioner
make a comment?
And Commissioner Fitz have a question.
Oh, go ahead.
I just want to move the amendment.
Second.
Amendments moved and seconded. Does anybody care if we call the roll right now on the amendment? Please call the roll.
Daly?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Wheeler?
Aye. The amendment's adopted. Commissioner Fish?
Just a cautionary flag. I think it's ultimately going to be extremely difficult to measure the benefits to property owners, Mayor, because we don't control the business cycles. This is currently property. These are currently homes in an area where, because of the white hot housing market that's essentially moved into East County, you know, these homes are going to be doing better now. A recession could hit. Interest rates could spike. It could change the whole valuation that has nothing to do with basic infrastructure. So I don't know how you screen for that, for location, for timing, and for other things. The other thing I wanted to do, though, is just to answer something Commissioner Fritz asked earlier. I don't know the status of this project that Leah Treat was leading of putting all the inputs on one electronic database of public and private construction projects. So it would be public utilities, private utilities, everything else. What I do know is that within the constraints of the BES CIP, what this represents is senior leadership of PBOT, senior leadership of BES, saying, here's an opportunity, let's pool our resources. So it's wholly opportunistic. And if it weren't for those conversations, this wouldn't happen. Being on a spreadsheet would not advance that conversation. This is just both sides saying, this is a priority, it meets a number of other values, location, safe routes. And we have to, the BES has to do this work, PBOT has to do the work, so we pick them. But it is on the opportunistic side, I think.
Yeah, thank you, Commissioner Fish. I'd just make two quick points. One is last year, Council passed something called the CAPIA Value Capture Ordinance, Resolution Number 37205, and we will be tasked with bringing our first report to Council so we can frame these types of issues like the question you've raised, Mayor. And I would also just point out, I really appreciate Commissioner Fish's comment, because we do a lot of planning in the city, and that's a good thing, but LIDs, as Commissioner Fish said, are very opportunistic. You really can't pick the group of property owners who step forward and say we want to do
okay,
a project.
Okay, so let me politely disagree with you.
Okay.
I don't think there is any process here that is so precious that it is exempt from our best faith effort around data collection. So let me take another stab at this. If you know, in the real estate industry, people use comps, and they say you have a, you know, whatever, two-bedroom, one-bath house here, and you have a two-bedroom, one-bath house here, and they can compare the relative value even in a current market environment. Can somebody tell me if you're on a street with crosswalks, paved sidewalks, and the street doesn't have foot-deep potholes as described in the video, what's the additive value to that house or to that neighborhood relative to the other that doesn't? I mean, I'm not saying I have the right answer, but I don't believe we should just shake our heads and say we can't ever collect
First
that
of all,
data or that information.
I just have to note this moment. I've served on this council for 9 years, and this is the first time someone has ever disagreed with Andrew Abbey. So, Andrew, I'm going to make a note of this. The mayor will be counseled on this. We hope it doesn't happen again. I will say, Ted, though,
respectfully disagree.
As someone who not long ago sold his house, I found the comps uniquely irrelevant because there was such a shortage of available homes and there were so many market distortions that the crappiest house in my neighborhood was valued above my house, was barely standing just because it was the only house available. So let's collect the data, but I think you're going to find the market forces make that data less than compelling.
Well, let's put it out there. Somewhere there's a smart master's student at Portland State or University of Portland or somewhere. I have to say that because Tom's in the room and he'll be. But anyway, there must be a way for us to at least, before we walk away and say we can't answer that question, because there is a value proposition that we are making to this neighborhood. We are saying we want you to invest your hard-earned cash in this local improvement district, and they're going to say, why? And you're going to say, well, the sidewalk's there and the road's not potholed and it's easier. And they'll say, not interested. But if you could come to them and say, you know, every dollar you invest in this returns $1.15 in additive value, give or take some standard deviation, I'll acknowledge that. That's a better value proposition. I'm just saying, I don't want to, we've already spent too much time on it.
The value on children, should we hold it on children and provide them sidewalks instead of...
I'm sorry, you have, yeah. Could you just come and say, we'll have public testimony and say it in the microphone because otherwise the captions can't get it. Thank you.
So, Mayor, maybe just to wrap this up, I have in mind a way I think I can thread the needle between you and Commissioner Fish. I won't go into it today, but I have some ideas on some past projects that I could do some research on and do that. So,
all right.
Mayor.
Yes.
May I?
Please.
Okay. So the conversation about the impact on property values brings up a concern that I've heard from low-income residents from East Portland to St. John's, which is that they don't welcome improvements like this, but because they're concerned either with rents rising, property taxes rising, and displacement. So while, I mean, I understand it would be great to be able to present this proposition to a homeowner as a net gain for them, we also have to sell it to other communities members who a net gain is not not necessarily beneficial. So I'm glad to hear that there's funding options. What was it? It was a low-income...
Deferral.
But then do we help people in other ways who may not qualify for that low-income deferral? Like, do we offer someone who doesn't qualify? They don't have $10,000 or they can't qualify for a conventional bank product. What do those people do? But they don't qualify for our low-income deferral.
So all the property owners in this LID automatically qualify for financing, but what I'm saying is over and above that, we will offer a deferral as well.
If they can't secure financing?
Well, they don't even have to secure the financing. They will already have the option to finance through us, but if they don't want to finance because they're trying to put food on the table, that type of thing, then they can sign up for the deferral and not pay until they sell their home.
Okay.
I would just like to remind everybody that the city, the Environmental Services, is putting in over $700,000 and transportation is putting in over $750,000. So to a certain extent, it's irrelevant about where else should we be doing this, because we usually can't put that kind of money into a project like this. Also, Portland Public Schools is paying into it.
That's correct.
And just one other quick thing. The main thing is I've always felt that we shouldn't consign people to being stuck with third world streets in order not to have property values go up. So thank you.
Thank you. Public testimony.
Yes, I show five people signed
Very
up.
Very good.
The first three, please come on up, are Lars von Schneider, Heather Mandar, and Dustin Furseth.
Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Lars Munsnyder. I'm here with my wife, Heather Mondor, who's sitting back there. We are residents of the block that's in question. We personally live at 8058, and we've lived there for 10 years, and that's the entire time that we've been in Portland. We've seen the neighborhood change extensively throughout the years, and when we heard that this was a possibility to take advantage of the money that was being offered, we were absolutely ecstatic, because we love our house, we love the neighborhood, but as you've seen from the pictures, that's the one thing that I can point to that I just have all kinds of anxiety about the street and about the condition. We've spent thousands of dollars over the past few years to both fix and to prevent water coming into our basement, not necessarily from the street, but just in general. We can see that the weather patterns are changing, and that as more rain is coming, there is a chance that that would happen again. We support this. We think that the work that the various organizations have done have been amazing, and would love to see it go through. But, of course, we want to have some sidewalks on our streets, but why should you care? And I think that the point that was just made that reminds me of a comment that a friend of mine made about 2 years ago, that he lives off of 50th and Southeast Hawthorne. And the comment that he made that really resonated with me was that everything that's east of 60th might as well be Afghanistan. And what he meant by that, I think, is that many people, especially newer residents, they get, you know, towards 82nd, they see streets like this, they think that Portland is, you know, not quite what they thought it was. So this is a chance for us to take advantage of the funding that's been provided to, you know, help the kids that have to walk to school. You know, this is one of these efforts that I think that to leave this kind of money on the table would just be foolish, and we support it more than anybody could. So thank you for your time. Thank you for having us here, and thank you for the chance to speak.
Great. Thank you for being here. Would you like to go next?
My name's Hillary Barassa. I'm up next, but his wife was called. So anyway, I represent myself and my partner. We also live on Mill Street. I'm also a realtor, so I can speak a little bit to the values. I don't have any numbers to share with you specifically today, but the intrinsic value of what's added by this this proposed improvement is so valuable, both to the students that go to Bridger. I mean, it's crazy pulling out of my driveway every day, worrying about these children walking up my street. I'm worried about them. I think they're worried about me, that I'm going to hit them, that they don't have a safe place to walk out of the puddles. They're weaving in and out of cars that are parked along our street. And people walking their dogs, it goes beyond the school. I mean, this has just been an unsafe street for a really long time. I've lived in the neighborhood for 12 years. I've been a realtor for 12 years. I've watched the Portland market go crazy. And you know, it's going to be difficult to come up with numbers because the market is the ultimate driver. But what I can tell you is that if someone is looking for a house to buy, they have two similar properties, two comparable properties. One has sidewalks, one has safe streets, the other doesn't. They're going to buy the house with sidewalks. So putting a number value on it is difficult, but I can tell you that it does give value, and not only to the homeowners, but potential future purchasers.
I appreciate that. Thanks for that perspective. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Dustin Furseth, and my wife Hannah and my son Sander was in some of those photographs. He's 18 months old, and he'll be attending Bridger Elementary, that's also in the LID. I think Andrew and everybody did a great job of covering the issues. I think that's very clear. I just wanted to give a personal perspective, just that I think that our street is different than a lot because we have three things happening. It's a place for children because of the elementary school. It's a city greenway that's dedicated as a bike thoroughfare that connects Lincoln and downtown out to the 205. So we have kids and bikes, and then we have cars, whether they're there or not, for a reason, going to school or just cutting through the neighborhood. It's a dangerous culmination in its current state. And when it rains, all you have to do is go out there anytime it rains and you'll see it. So I just think that the bottom line here is that we don't want to wait till anyone gets hurt. And I'm a homeowner that acknowledges that I will be contributing, and it's worth every penny from my standpoint. And when the dialogue that you were just having about property values, we've been having with the neighbors that were not on board. And people are coming around to that. Even longstanding neighbors are starting to see the fact that this is something happening outside of your property that will help the neighborhood, and it's worth your money. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks to all three of you for being here. We appreciate it. Next three, please.
The last person I show is Rebecca Hamilton.
And did you want to say something on the record as well?
Good morning.
Good morning. My name is... Good morning. My name is Rebecca Hamilton. I live in North Portland, but I am an advocate for safe places to walk and roll in our city. And I'm a member of the Pedestrian Advisory Committee, although today I'm here just representing myself. So I'm here to ask for your support of the proposed LID for transportation improvements in Southeast Mill and 80th Avenue, and particularly the amendment that extends the LID to Southeast Grant. The project would create safe, connected walking routes to to two significant institutions, Bridger Elementary and the Slavic Church Emmanuel, and it would connect with improvements made by PCC earlier, so we could create a complete network of sidewalks in this neighborhood. Coordinating these transportation projects with planned sewer projects creates an opportunity for huge cost savings on a sidewalk network that this neighborhood would have little chance of affording on its own. Creating this LID and implementing these transportation projects now, when so much of the cost burden can be shared between bureaus, is possibly the only chance that this project could be done in the foreseeable future. So I certainly encourage you to allow the neighborhood to take advantage of this opportunity to build sidewalks for their kids at a price they could afford. I'd also like to encourage you to direct PBOT, BES, and the Parks Bureau to look for these cost-sharing opportunities, or to take a look into why efforts to do that already, why they're not as effective as they could be. These opportunities save taxpayers money, and they can make sidewalk infill projects possible in places where they would never otherwise happen. And finally, I'd like to share something with you. For over 25 years, the city has sponsored the Traffic and Transportation class. It's a class that was started by Earl Blumenauer, with the goal of teaching citizens of Portland how to be effective community advocates, how to work cooperatively with government and city staff to implement needed transportation projects in their neighborhood. I'm a graduate of the class myself, and I've been volunteering with the class for several years. So I wanted to let you know that one of the students, Amy Wren, a resident of Montevilla and a graduate of last year's class, was a driving force in bringing this project here today and in organizing her neighborhood to get behind this project. So I just wanted to let you know that your continued investment in educating the citizens of Portland in productive civic engagement through the traffic and transportation class continues to pay dividends. So in conclusion, please support the LID, particularly its extension down to Grant, so that we can make a complete sidewalk network in this neighborhood. Let's actively look for these opportunities for cost sharing through interbureau coordination, and let's keep supporting public education in productive, cooperative citizen engagement.
Ms. Hamilton, I want to do just a quick shout out for a former colleague. When Steve Novick had PBOT and he hired Leah, this was very high on their radar, this idea of collaboration with BES. And I'm very pleased that you also, in your testimony, acknowledged the benefit to ratepayers of aligning the work. So it's a win-win. And Andrew will tell us otherwise, but the senior CIP managers have been directed to look for these opportunities. We'll make sure that we're doing it at a high enough level. But this has now our third or fourth year of this being baked into PBOT and BES looking for these opportunities. But we'll follow it to make sure that we're seizing every opportunity. Thank you
very much.
Thank you.
And Parks too.
Thank you, everybody who testified. Please call the roll.
I just want to clarify for people in the room that my concern I expressed has nothing to do with my support of this LID. It's obviously a really excellent opportunity for the neighborhood. It's just that when we talk about increasing property values, we have to talk about the potential for displacement. And we're about Well, I hope we're about to adopt a comprehensive plan that includes 11 anti-displacement measures, which is wonderful. I'm just concerned about how we continue to be held accountable for those. So I'm happy to vote aye.
Fritz.
Usually when people stay 2 hours beyond the time that they're, actually 2.5 hours beyond the time that their item was scheduled to be discussed, it's because they're furious and want to speak against it. So I really thank you very much for still being here at 12:30, particularly our representative from the Pedestrian Advisory Council, to live in somebody in a different neighbourhood and come and say what a good project this is, I think is evidence that people of Portland care about each other. I live in deep southwest Portland, and I've served on the council now for almost 9 years. Deep southwest has similar streets compared with East Portland, very few sidewalks, and despite Andrew's best efforts to remedy that situation to the extent that can happen. I've never seen a local improvement district that is more commendable or more needed. I mean, particularly the frontage of the school being in such terrible shape. How did this not happen before? It's that's a question. I also want to commend former Portland Commission on Disability Commissioner Sue Stahl, who used a mobility device and was very active in promoting accessibility in the built environment, and I'm sure this is something that gives her pleasure even now. And I also thank Andrew Abbey. We should not consign people to live on third world streets for fear that their property values will go up. We want people in all parts of the city to have safe, accessible streets and to have access to opportunities that create a better life and a better future for them and others. Aye.
Fish?
Well, another superb piece of work by Andrew Abbey. I'm very proud of the work that BES and PBOT do to coordinate these projects. It was not always the case. I want to thank the folks who took 3 hours out of their life or more to be here. We ought to have a system that says if you get heard 2 hours over a time certain, we should pick up your parking tickets. But I don't have PBOT in my portfolio. I have a 13-year-old at home. We're very lucky. His safe route to school is crossing the street in front of our apartment building and getting on a bus. And so I know he's safe going and coming. But looking at these pictures, this is not acceptable to our city, that young people have to dodge puddles and streams and other kinds of things and other safety hazards. So this is a great project, and I'm very pleased to support it. Aye.
Wheeler.
We can quibble about the data, and I'll always raise questions about data, but that's the minor point here. The larger point here is we have neighborhood streets and sidewalks, as Andrew said, that are not safe and they are not up to standard and they are not acceptable to this council and they're not acceptable to the community. And so we need to find creative ways to be able to address these issues. And as has been stated by all of my colleagues, the larger issue here is safety, particularly for kids who are making their way to school. That is the larger issue and the more important issue. Andrew, as always, you're a diplomat and a statesman with a withering attention to the details and an ability to bring people together to support these kinds of transactions. And I know having heard you discuss other maybe more contentious LIDs, this one is really masterful work. I want to acknowledge the Portland Public School System for their efforts and contributions to this as well, and the Bureau of Transportation and Commissioner Saltzman, who couldn't be here today, but I want to acknowledge his leadership on this important issue as well. This is a good roadmap for other LID discussions and partnerships around this kind of improvement in the parts of our community that desperately need it. I vote aye. The resolution is adopted as amended. Colleagues.